Hello everyone, this is Randy McKinley, the founder and CEO of The Company Doctors, and this is the Business Exam Room, a podcast brought to you by The Company Doctors, where we share stories and tips that we hope will inspire, motivate, and help improve the health of your company. Eileen Ferrer, our media coach and TV news personality, recently sat down with our guest, business owner Ivy Dye. Her passion for cooking started as a little girl. Her journey eventually led her from California to Antibes on the French Riviera, where she opened her first restaurant called Grace. It was not without some challenges, and Ivy shares more about how she got to where she is. Let's just say, listening and solving customers' problems can lead you down roads you never dreamed.
Well, hi, Ivy. Welcome to the Company Doctors Business Exam Room.
Oh, hello. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Well, you have worn many hats over the years, whether it's a television producer for ABC or the Food Network or a media PR professional or a chef or even a restaurant owner, but it seems like your passion is always involving cooking.
Yes, definitely. My passion actually, I think, began probably about age 13, my first home economics class. You know, after that, my sister gave me a book. It was called Cookies and Brownies. Since then, I've been baking and cooking for family.
You learned from the best, studying at Cordon Bleu.
Yes, I went to the Cordon Bleu. The original one is based in France, and then the one I went to is in Los Angeles. From there, I went on and did my externship at, it's called Le Nôtre. It's one of the big gastronomic houses in France. I got an externship actually at like the Gordon Ramsay restaurant.
And what did you learn?
Yeah, so it's incredible. I learned French. You know, it was just outside of Paris.
Because we also have to tell people that you're in the south of France. You're on the French Riviera.
Correct. Yes. Original LA native for the last 10 years, been based in the south of France currently. You know, after my externships and things like that, then I went on to work at the Ritz-Carlton and the Four Seasons hotels. I'm a pastry chef, and then I was recruited to be a private chef based in the south of France. And I was traveling and cooking for, maybe I can't say too much in here, but
some big names,
royal family. Yeah, not so much names, but for, you know, several different high net worth families, royal families, you know.
And this was, you were a chef aboard yachts too, right? Private yachts?
Correct. Yeah. So that the owners of the yachts on their yachts and then in villas and in palaces. And yeah.
That had to be mind boggling. I mean, you're starting out in California and here you are with celebrities and royalty.
Yes, exactly. Even though, you know, grew up in LA, you see celebrities here and there, but to actually be in their intimate space every day, day in and day out, know everything about them, you know, have them speed dial, get to know all everything.
Any juicy details you can share?
Well, whatever you want, like if you just have money and whatever you want and whatever you want it, and you just get it, you know, there's helicopters on yachts. So, you know, if you want lobster, like it's there, like it's just, you know, they're like, here is 80,000 euros, Ivy, like, please get lunch for us, for me and three of my friends. Thank you. You know, it's like, oh, what do we do? How many more bottles of champagne could we buy?
But to get to that point, and I think our listeners and viewers would love to learn some of the steps that you went through to get to that point, because it wasn't always an easy journey. I mean, I remember when we were talking earlier, when times were tough early on and you couldn't even afford like the professional kitchen knives, you were very innovative and you found a way to get it. You were not afraid to ask for help. And I think that's a key point.
I think you're referring to when I first did my cooking classes. Yeah. So I talked to people and they're like, okay, to start a business, you know, you need to have money to make money. Right. Which is not always the case. So what I did was, I remember the first cooking classes that I taught, I was like, okay, how am I going to get 12 knives, as you mentioned, 12 cutting boards, all these materials in a kitchen, like a free kitchen to do all these things in. So I ended up speaking with the Pacific Asia Museum because I was going to be doing Chinese cooking classes and asked them if I could use their kitchens for free. For people out there, churches and schools have free kitchens. Or at least very low cost kitchens that you can rent. That, and then I had asked my cooking instructor, and he just started wrapping up these knives and he just let me borrow them from the school. That was really kind of him. And I just went to literally every single friend's house and borrowed a cutting board. Okay. This is just how we did it. And then on top of that, then for the classes, I wanted to do an ad or write some kind of article for the Pasadena Weekly, but they ended up writing a story on me, and then people registered. I had a lot of help, people like family members, friends, you know, free labor, basically, right? You know, so people help you.
And you were really, I think what you realized too was you really found a niche with gluten-free and plant-based food.
Yes. So I don't know if it's just because I grew up in California, so all the veganism and, you know, all the health-oriented diets, and then as well as having a bit of international flair and flavor, right? So that is something I kind of grew up with. I would describe my cuisine as really more American at the base of it, but being of Chinese descent, and then just growing up in California, it was just Mexican influence, Middle Eastern, all of that. So yeah, when I was in the South France, a lot of people just had dietary intolerances. You know, they wanted to have tasty food, and you know, really nobody knew, you know, vegetarian here is still, if you say you're vegetarian, people will give you fish, you know, and if you're vegan, you know, there's butter. I mean, so, you know, people just didn't really understand. And a lot of people have come in, Pamela Anderson of
Baywatch, yeah, her, Baywatch fame. Yes.
Yeah. You know, our Tobey Maguire, as you know, like vegans, and it's just, people just kind of don't understand what that all entails. I think also sometimes people who have digestive issues also kind of part and parcel with sort of a stressful lifestyle and emotional, like unresolved emotional issues, that kind of a lot of it goes hand in hand. So I became kind of like a food psychologist. You kind of have to become one. And so just, yeah, at the base of everything. And that's like for any line of business or any company start or anything, even as a company, you know, to really fulfill your, to listen and to fulfill your customers' needs.
Right. Absolutely. And we have to point out too, that you were also on season 3 of the Food Network's Cupcake Wars. That had to have really helped get your name out as well.
Definitely. Yes. I was on Cupcake Wars. I got to meet the founder of Sprinkles Cupcakes, Candace Nelson, who had a very interesting history. She grew up in Singapore, and she's like, I really miss Asian food. I remember that we were talking about that. Yeah, so definitely I tried out for the next Food Network startup until I always got to the kind of that last level before we went on to the finalists. So they were really telling me that I needed to go to culinary school. I hadn't gone to culinary school yet at that time. Wow. And then go through that journey. You know, I had 5 years before I opened my restaurant, which I'll get to, you know, I started this, I guess it's on YouTube now, right? I mean, called Burgers to Baguettes, Real Paris Cuisine. And it just talked about gastronomy in France and things like that, how expats are sort of changing the culinary landscape. So, I mean, you can, you know, nowadays, I mean, you can really self-produce anything. I mean, you know what I mean? You don't have to really wait for that big break anymore.
Right. It is a big difference, isn't it? You can post your own video, you can do your instruction, and especially now with the pandemic, people, I think are just more, comfortable doing things online and watching things online. And I think that's a great way to get your name and your business and your ideas out there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for example, like I was, you know, saying I started a small coffee shop here in the South of France, and, you know, service-based businesses have taken a hit, or, you know, during the pandemic, that's, you know, so we shifted very quickly. We were already selling a few supplements, like plant-based supplements and things like that. But, you know, we've gone full tilt. So we've closed down that location, but online now in France, and then also in the States and in Canada, everything that you would want or that you can get is online. So health and beauty supplements, vegan skincare, everything for, you know, immunity supplements, you know, all of that for digestion and health and well-being. Yeah.
We have to backtrack a little bit because we kind of glossed over your restaurant. That was a major accomplishment, opening up your very own restaurant. How much of a challenge was that?
You know, I did like a vision board or a dream board. And then I did the Marie Kondo, the art, the life-changing magic of tidying up, where you kind of clean out your physical belongings, but a lot of, you know, the internal things. And so what became clear to me was that I was to open a physical space, which as a business owner, you know, it's always hard to have a brick and mortar and then employees and all of that. But that was what I was like driven or shown to do. And I went on with that. And I never really thought my life would go that way. I thought I was just going to have my TV show, but it slowly went into working restaurants, becoming a private chef, then opening a restaurant. And so it was very difficult. It's just like, you know, think about how much it's going to cost you. Say it's going to cost you $50,000. Yeah, just double that. Just, you know, any type of project. And I just found out I didn't have enough money. And for many years, I was running behind. So I did everything. I rented out my place on Airbnb. I slept in my cafe. I was helping all my friends like rent out their places. I was just doing all types of crazy things. I started with like, I think 11 euros of food materials and turned it into 400 euros. A very popular dish was the Thai burger. And that was from after I made the fruit juices, the pulp that was left over, you know, usually you just bin it, right? But if you add flavor to it, it becomes the Thai burger. So,
wow. So finding innovative ways so you're not wasting, you're using every little bit so you're not wasting.
When you're kind of caught in it, because you know, when I worked on yachts as well, because you don't have a lot of space and you don't have a lot of time and you just have to pull things out of your hat. And then I find that when you're kind of put up against the wall, that's when you find your biggest innovations. So a lot of the fan favorites all came out of that. And then we ended up turning everything into like, there's no plastic. We recomposted everything, even banana peels. You can turn them into tacos, you know, as a substitute for jackfruit. Yeah. People in the Caribbean and stuff, they actually eat that. It's quite good for your health. Oh. It's hard to find. I mean, you just don't find vegan cheese everywhere. Okay. You got to make that stuff yourself. You can't find cashews everywhere. So, and then of course the market of people, you know, self-service, there was a lot of things going on, hiring, you know, traditional business, the paperwork, the red tape, definitely very difficult, more administration, but also what I didn't expect when you have that brick and mortar, you kind of started to build that community, you know? And then, so I had to sort of adapt the product a bit for the French market.
And how did you do that? Was it just a matter of listening to the customer, or how did you figure out what was going to sell?
So yeah, I mean, that's what it is. You have to, because in the, it's from the lean startup machine or lean startup model, Eric Rice. He talks about like, you must first figure out what is going to serve your customer. You don't like create a product and then hope your customer base likes it. You got to like know everything about them and then figure out their problems. So yeah, first, you know, it's to be self-service, like Pret a Manger, or Starbucks, you go get your stuff, sit down, but people actually wanted to sit. But then I had to make it affordable as well, right? So we kind of did where we still did disposable, like compostable food and things that were quite like easy to do, but they could still sit down. And then the other thing that was really hard for me was raising my prices, which seems crazy. But in the end, you know, if we don't exist next year because we didn't charge enough for our food, you know, then we can't service our customers. So that's something that you really have to look at. And I had to just simplify things. I couldn't put adaptogenics and like five different kinds of super smoothies. I just had to simplify. Avocado toast was a new thing here. So really educate people, make things way less spicier. It's like a fifth of the spice level. And then it's more English, you know, there's more English instead of American expats. And yeah, just using, you know, people are less fussy about carbs. People actually eat bread. So, you know, you can actually take advantage of, you know, all the fresh produce that's around there and, you know, introduce, like they wanted to know, like ramen. They had no idea what that was. Like we had to introduce that. Yeah.
That's so interesting. So it's a whole, you're teaching as well.
Exactly. So it was, we were very like many years ahead of the curve.
Your restaurant Gray's is that you're, it's in the process of being sold or has been sold, right?
Yeah. So we're letting it go at the end of the month. That was a hard decision, right? You know, but I've spoken with another business owner and, you know, to make space for something new. You know, I've been talking with, I'm really blessed to have a coach and mentor who's actually based in the States, and she was able to be financially independent in her mid-30s. And, you know, she's been helping me with taking my skills and creating that so I can do more instead of, you know, cleaning toilets and doing paperwork, like building that. And so that was one of the things that she had suggested, is that I need to let that go to, you know, increase my capacity and really be able to grow my online business.
And your online business, tell us about that.
So it's really incredible. Partnered with a lot of really big manufacturers and distributors of health and wellness products in the States. And so just tapping into the power of drop shipping. So, you know, I don't necessarily have to conceive the products, make the products, packaging, you know, safety, getting the product in, getting people to make it, you know, all of that. So all of it is really going down to the base of, you know, figuring out what the customer wants and getting that to them. You know, as a private chef, people just wanted a lot of different things and they couldn't quite find them. Just, you know, going back to servicing people one-on-one. Right. So with Amazon, you can go and you can find things that you want, but you don't really get that one-on-one interaction. You go when you go to your like favorite coffee shop or your health food shop. So I think bringing that back in, especially with the pandemic now and people not really having that contact.
That's what I was going to ask you too, is had the pandemic not happened, do you think you would have made the switch to putting your energy into the online business?
That's a good question. I mean, right before it happened, I was like, okay, I need to think long-term, like in another 10 years, what other crises, what other, you know, thing is going to happen. So we need something that's going to sustain 10, 15 years from now. On top of that, I mean, everyone should have some type of online aspect, right? I mean, I was the one of the first people in my area that who Uber Eats. Nobody really had no idea about any of this. Okay. So yeah, definitely you need to be able to diversify. Yeah. Especially now more than ever, you know, I mean, the pandemic, okay, service-based businesses took a hit, right? But then now there's a new need, and people who can fill that need as quickly as possible are the ones who are going to be successful. So it's not like, oh, that's, you know, people see it as something negative, like, oh, this is so difficult, so terrible. It's like, no, now there's a new need, you know, people need certain, you know, quick internet delivery. No, but there's just so many possibilities right now.
And if you had some advice for business owners, small businesses, people just starting out, what would maybe be the things that stand out for you that might help them?
Yeah, number one is pretty much, if you have decided to be an entrepreneur or, you know, to go kind of outside of the grain, a lot of people are just going to, I don't know, naysayers pull you down. And, you know, if people think you're crazy, then that means you're going in the right direction. And, you know, never give up on your dream, like just keep going with that. And the number one thing that I've learned the most, you know, from the journey is really try to find someone with that life that you want. And as much as you can, find them and latch onto them and ask them if they will help you. You know, just with the last year and a half with mentorship and just being around different people has really propelled and grown me.
So lots of lessons learned.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you so much, Ivy, for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Eileen, and thanks, Ivy. As you heard, Ivy is now focusing on her online business through grazeorganics.com. That's G-R-A-Z-E, organics.com. And I think there's several lessons to be learned from Ivy. Number one, don't be afraid to ask for help. This is the number one issue for small businesses. There's a difference between the professional and someone just starting business, and that's why you have Home Depot, because everybody wants to try to do it themselves, and we understand that. And that's why we have tools that we share with businesses, and we don't charge for that, because we know a lot of times people want to go do it themselves, and that's okay. Number two, know when to ask for help. So here's what I recommend. You've heard of synergy, 2 + 2 = 5. Here's what this means. Grab some people around you, tell them what you're doing, and tell them what the problem is, and get some input. That's what professionals do. We do this all the time. We're comfortable with it, and hopefully you can too. Number three, listening to the customer's needs is key. What happens in their world changes fast, and you have to adapt and try to solve those problems. And as you'll see, as they keep changing, your world keeps changing in what you're offering. Number four, diversification is priceless. A number three revenue generator for you may turn out to be your number one, because the world changed around you and what the customer needed changes around you quickly too. And that could turn out to be a thing totally different and lead you down a different path, just like you heard with Ivy. And number five, success is about embracing change, which means have passion for what you do. Skills are skills, and they're translatable from one industry to the next. Don't forget that. And there's fear of the unknown. And what does fear stand for? False evidence appears real, which means a lot of the things that you fear aren't necessarily real. So that does it for another episode of the Business Exam Room, brought to you by the Company Doctors, the business turnaround experts. Over the past 4 years, we've helped save more than 53 companies and set many more on the right financial path. Whether you're a startup ready to expand or just trying to survive, contact us for a free consultation at thecompanydoctors.com. That's thecompanydrs.com. Until next time, we're wishing you good health to you, your family, and your business. The information provided is intended solely for educational and cannot be used as a substitute for professional advice and or information, as circumstances will vary from person to person and company to company. You should not act or rely upon information without seeking professional advice. Do not attempt any of the suggestions, actions, solutions, remedies, or instructions discussed on this podcast without first consulting with a qualified professional. The materials are not intended to be, nor do they constitute actionable professional advice. Transmission of this information is not intended to create a professional client relationship between the company doctors and you.